The Lord is with us, dear YouTube family and heart dwellers. Today is October the 7th, 2015. And I started out this night with worship. I wanted to mention something to you guys, and that's that I'll go into worship for maybe an hour or more, and I'll start to get real sleepy. And sometimes that's the Lord putting you down just for resting in the Lord. And he does a lot of repair work in our hearts and minds when we yield to that. So for those of you who are experiencing a little bit of sleepiness in prayer time or during worship especially, it may be that the Lord wants you to just rest in him for a while. That's usually about 20 minutes or so. And then your mind is very clear and sharp and you've been rejuvenated. So that's one thing. And then the other thing that caught my attention tonight, I had a bit of a stomach ache, and so I ate dinner anyway, and still wasn't quite right. And I just felt a nudge to get some ice cream, and I thought, Lord, I don't want to have a treat before I listen to you. I want to be, you know, at least denying myself something. And I just felt him nudging me to do it. So I went and ate some ice cream, and my stomach ache totally stopped. And when I came back to my computer to start speaking with him, I said, Jesus, I am such a burden to myself. This body is a tyrant, and I still haven't mastered it. And he answered me, let's get beyond your body. We have work to do with souls, my love. Let your body serve you. Do what you must, but let's move on with souls. For my sake? Yes, of course, Lord, that's what I want too. If it's any consolation to you, you're not going to master the tyrant here on earth. Great. So let it go. Just let it go and concentrate on souls. Lord, that's what I want to do, but I've got this thing about, you know, denial and fasting and all of that. And he said, you don't need to listen to condemnation from the dark side about your eating this or not eating that. It's a total smokescreen to throw you back into yourself in guilt. And I would add, many, many, many fall for it. Don't you be one of them. My brides, anytime your focus is switched from others and taking care of them to your own shortcomings and failings, you should suspect a demon of condemnation has been sent to stop you thinking about others. The only exception to that rule is when I allow you to see your faults so you dare not lift up your head high and put down others, not even in a fleeting thought. That is one tyrant you should work night and day to overcome. And you, my love, when will you relax in my presence and stop doubting it is me? He said that because I'm always testing the spirits. And then he said, every night you doubt that I will come and speak with you. When will you trust me, Claire? When I'm in heaven with you? In heaven I can clearly see spiritual things. He replied, but my sheep know my voice, and you do know my voice. Could it be the criticism of others that causes you to keep doubting? Lord, why do you ask? Nothing is hidden from you. But really, I know the demon never sleeps, and because you have sent me to lead others, I cannot afford to mislead them. And that is why I sent Ezekiel into your life, my love. And Carol, I might add. You know and understand that as long as you keep your head down low, I am protecting you. It is when you raise yourself up to judge others that you have to fear deception. I'm trying not to do that at all, Lord. I hate it, and I don't want any part of it. But you will always be tempted in that area, because that is the quickest way to cause a fault in my ministers, and the demons know it well. You see, when you take it upon yourself to judge others, you sin. Just as it is written, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? That's Matthew 7, starting at verse 7. But Lord, when we are dealing with the faith, we are to discern the spirit and measure against Scripture, right? Discerning a spirit is a whole different matter than criticizing a brother or a sister. Yes, you must always measure against my word, but you must also be coming from a place that is open to a new understanding of my word. There are discoveries in the scriptures that have not been made yet, and those that connect the dots, led by my spirit, will be challenged and condemned for the revelation of my word by insecure people who are always trying to galvanize others into their doctrine for the sake of safety and being right all the time. They are so afraid of being misled that they condemn legitimate moves of my spirit because it's unfamiliar to them and it threatens their turf and there is jealousy involved. Many secretly think that if I don't give the revelation to them, it can't possibly be true. And that becomes their basis for judging others. They do great damage in the kingdom of God on earth. This is why discernment is an absolute necessity. You don't want to fight against God, as it is written, for if this plan or action is of men, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, or else you may be even found fighting against God. That's Acts 5:38. For instance, I did not give a sound outline on the Trinity. Yet it is in the Word, if you look at it carefully. And my apostles were led by my Spirit to make the connections and establish it as sound Christian doctrine. Yet if you do not believe that, you will not go to hell. So don't turn legalistic on me. Some people are so insecure that they're constantly trying to make everything around them fit into a black and white category. And here I am not talking about justifying immoral behavior, such as homosexuality, and declaring it a gray area. There is nothing gray about it. It is a sin. I'm talking more about squeezing everyone and everything into your mold by taking an opinion and making it into a hard and fast doctrine to condemn others that don't share your opinion. This is what the Pharisees did. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Those who eat of it shall also be called to judgment for the damage they did. Well, Lord, then, so if there's a new revelation from the existing scriptures, how do we measure it against interpretations from the past? He answered, Scripture is layered. Prophecy, history, exhortation, instruction and wisdom, human affairs, all facets of life, health, and even anointed in timely words just for you, or as it was called, the oracle of God. Before a king went into battle, he called upon the prophets or the priests to consult with me about the outcome. This is the oracle of God, and has been bestowed upon all believers since I rent the veil that separated you from me. By my spirit, men are making fresh observations, things that never occurred to anyone before. This is my doing, for you live in a treacherous time where lying spirits are twisting the faith. There are certain things that will never be right, and I have made that plain. So, Lord, how do you discern if something is spirit-led and a new revelation of existing scripture, or if it's doctrines of demons parading as a spirit of light? And at that point, I just remembered the scripture. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. And teachers can look and sound good to the average person, but are they sincere in you, Lord? And again, I was reminded of 2 Corinthians. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. That's 2 Corinthians 11. The Lord replied to me, "And you have just answered your own question, Claire. Their end will be what their actions deserve. You will know them by their fruits, plain and simple. Taste the fruit. Is it bitter, corrupt, filled with rancor, criticism, accusation, and anger? Or is it sweet, peaceable, gentle, kind, peaceful, and leading to a deeper relationship with me, which will always bear the fruit of increased righteousness, cutting off of sin, repentance, and a new resolution to live the life I have appointed? These are clear evidences that what is being taught is from me. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Taste the fruit. My love, you have been with me and instructed by me for long enough that you should know all these things. So why do you question?" So that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Put away your fears, Claire. You are living the life I have assigned to you. You have my blessing and approval. What more could you want? Nothing, Lord, absolutely nothing. My brides, I have made discernment easy for you. Taste the fruit. Do not reason or argue with your logical minds. You will always miss a point, and that can lead to endless inquiries, contradictions, and false conclusions. But one thing will always reveal the true nature of the source, and that is the fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Cherish these words, for they will lead you into all truth and keep you from error.